I've been reading a little bit about you, although I know I've interacted with you and been with you. So one, I think it was a publication or a pamphlet, describes you as a big-hearted and committed lady. And I couldn't agree more.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because the big heart, because of what you do.
Okay.
And committed because you've stuck to this.
Yeah.
So I think that
happily
describes you.
So not just stuck, Nanda. There's another aspect I think you definitely know about it. A lot of people that start such institutions have been themselves impacted by it beyond just an emotional connect. They have, as part of the family, there are people with needs. But in Mrs. Radha's case, Radha ma'am's case, absolutely not. She found this calling, seeing other people's children. That is something I've always found about her commitment. It's truly fascinated me.
Yeah, I was trying to describe all this with one word, and I thought committed really described all of this.
Sure.
Yeah, because many people start with a lot of intentions, but to follow it through and to stick to it for so many years is another, it's a different ball game altogether.
Thank you for the compliment, and I feel I derive a lot of satisfaction in this. It's not that I'm surprised at my own passion sometimes, it's not to boast, but you know, the kind of energy that I have when I get to school every day to see the children, you know, then I'm surprised and I'm glad. I think it's a calling. I think God has been by my side all the time, guiding me. So I think that's why it's been going well. I think basically that.
I'm sure that the divine hand, as they say, is definitely there. So in, I think in 1989, you started Swabodhini, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So what triggered, I mean, let me ask in another way. Did a maternal instinct kick in, or what do you think?
Well, I was a teacher in a primary school. Primary school teacher, and I just took up that job just as a part time to get away from, you know, the house and to do something better. Mm. And that's when I chanced to see special needs children in my class. Mm. And that was a small primary school. We had about 15, 20 students in each class. Mm. And, you know, initially, sorry, but I cursed myself for thinking, why me? Why this class? What will I do with them? There were 100 questions that I had no answers. I didn't know what to do with them. And, you know, then I had to take it in my stride and I had to work hard. At that point, I realized that there were a lot of results.
Mm.
Over the year, you know, I had a mixed group of students, and over the year, I realized there's so much that I could change. Mm. Then the next year, I went, I did not have any background in special education or any kind of formal training. I went to the principal and I said, I would like to do a resource room. I would like to start a resource room in this place and, you know, give them the best on a one-on-one attention as well as put them in the class. So they would get the best of both. you know, she agreed to that. Mm. So I started the resource room. And then I used to take these kids out of the class, give them one-on-one, you know, whatever they needed, the kind of concerns they had. And there was an art therapist there, the principal's daughter, the founder's daughter, who used to help me a little bit about psychology and things like that. Mm. And that year, I realized that there was so much to do with them, you know, that I could definitely continue doing this. There was something, I would say, maybe some common sense that helped me.
Mm.
And the next year, you know, there were a lot of parents who objected to having special needs children in the regular school. And so there was an issue. Mm-hmm. And she told me, and the founder said, it's so difficult running this. I think there'll be going to be a lot of problems. And I said, no, I'll resign my job. And I would try to take classes at home. And incidentally, I also had a fracture, and so that gave me an excuse to move out. So that's how I started it at home with two children. That was way back in 86. Sorry, not 86, 88. And 89, I founded Swabodhini with the name. It means empowering self to teach oneself. Swabodhini.
Yeah.
And that's how it was born.
You have a lot of students from mixed communities, right? I mean, some of them are well-to-do, some of them are not so well-to-do. So how does this work? I mean, do you charge a fee, or is it donation-based? How does this work?
We do charge the fees, but we have 70 children now in all this year. Well, we don't want to grow big. We just want to focus on quality in our services. So I would say about 20% of them are sponsored. So when they come from a low-income group, or they're not able, they can't afford it, then we sponsor their studies. So we get individual sponsors or companies to sponsor it, so that we still include those children into our fold.
Okay. Now, for the specialist teachers who come in with special education credentials, are you having an attrition there? Are people, is there a revolving gate?
Yes, of course, there are. There are a number of some old staff, they stick on because they're used to this place. Also that they find the satisfaction here. The way, it's more like a family at Swabodhini, where all of us help each other. But there are nowadays when people get trained in special education and they come in, with 1 or 2 years, they become consultants. And they want to hop into schools. And, I think that's more lucrative as well as I think it's not so time consuming, or you don't get stuck to one place. So we realize there's a lot of attrition, especially the new people who come in, new educators who walk in. Sometimes, they leave or they start their own clinics.
Do you think money is the main prerogative for them to move out? Do you think that's one of the reasons? In which case, if it's yes, and just like you have sponsors for students, are you able to get sponsors for teachers?
Yeah, we do have companies that sponsor our recurring expense. Some of them, operational expenses, they take care. So that's not a problem. But I won't say they're very well paid, because the special educators in India, I don't think they're paid very, very well. Though we are good paymasters, we do. But there's a limit, So when they become consultants, I think they earn more. So definitely that's something that they look forward to also. Especially if you're looking for a career and you want to grow, and it's not so fast here. Because it means years of experience, We have specialists. We have people who have trained in occupational therapy. We have speech. We have yoga. We have somebody coming from Satyananda Yoga Trust, who's been teaching yoga for quite many years. And we have an individualized yoga asana program for each child. So they group them together and we give them asanas to improve their skills, motor calming down and things like that. We also have introduced fitness therapy. I think that's giving us a lot of progress because these students do not tend to, have a lot of exercises. They're quite lethargic. So now fitness therapy has helped a number of students become better.
And also, I think apart from yoga and apart from the fitness, another thing which is pretty close to my heart is you started music lessons from the Hitam Trust.
Right.
That's awesome. What kind of music do they learn?
They don't learn, actually. Hitam Trust, sings for them. The staff come there and then I think twice a week they sing for them, maybe to give them that peace and calmness.
Okay.
And so it's more that way. For the last few months, we've not been having classes, but I think it's only up to that extent. It's not learning music or anything like that.
Okay, it's more for the psyche. So they just enjoy it.
Right.
Yeah, some of them can hum, but they cannot speak. So nonverbal children also know to hum the tune.
Correct.
Aren't there some very good singers, ma'am, or children with autism? There are some that sing well, right?
Right, some of them do.
And they can mimic words and therefore they sing pretty well.
Yes, they sing. Some of them sing, and one of them wanted to get to A.R. Rahman's group. He sang very well. He would play on the keyboard. Then we try to help him get there, but not many. It's called a splinter skill. Each child with autism has a splinter skill. We see what is important, whether it's really useful, and then we help them improve on it. Otherwise, they get too obsessed with it.
So these are, like you said, splinter talents. So are these what are called Asperger's? I mean, are they high-performing kids who...
splinter skill does not come there. Splinter skill, each of them has a kind of a streak to do something better.
Okay.
Asperger's is different, high-functioning autistic. Uh-huh. But their social skills are poor, and they have their own. Cognitively, they are better.
The other aspect of your training is also very, very fascinating. Is how you think from end to end. See, the greatest worry parents have is what will the child do after the parents have, gone. Mm-hmm. But you train them vocationally. You train them to office administration, to computer skills, culinary, and also you have started a grocery shop called Swayam Shop.
Right.
So that's awesome. So how do you pick the children to do? Is there also an aptitude test of sorts, like who's more oriented into computer science, some who are more oriented, skilled with their hands and things?
Yes, because there are some students who have done the NIOS exams, that is, they have finished their 10th or their 12th, because academically they are quite sound, but they do have many features of autism. And so when they have some academic background, then it's easier to train them in computers and admin skills. But the others, we would say we train them in culinary and retail, especially the nonverbal students. That's the brainchild of Subodhini, the Swayam Shop, which we thought they needed. I think these children need a future. And there are so many nuances in running a shop and so many activities that you can work there. So I thought nonverbal children with low cognitive ability, especially, we can create a future for them by training them in retail. And retail, I think India is poised for a retail powerhouse now. So I think they will be in good stead.
Emotional stability, do you think, is one of the perquisites for a job in retail?
Students with autism are very they are very comfortable with monotonous jobs, repetitive things that you teach them, and they do it perfectly. So I think that's easy for them. And emotional, I don't think not many students with autism do display any kind of emotion as such. Some of them are very friendly. Some of them are, but not many.
So that's why is it called a spectrum, because there's so many shades to the behavior?
Yes. Every child with autism is very different.
Wow.
No two children are the same. Just an incident. We have a boy who is working in Guru Nanak College. The correspondent had come to school to visit the school, and he just spoke to him and he said, "Would you like to join my college for a job?" And he said, "Yes." And he said, "What do you want?" He said, "I want 13,000. He's a boy with autism, a Bengali boy. And we were all astonished. I said, why was he asking 13,000? And immediately he agreed. Mr. Manjit Singh, he's the correspondent of the college. He agreed and said, "Okay, come join." And decided to pay him 13. And so as soon as he left, we asked him, "Why did you ask 13? And you know what he said? "My mother spends that money on me every month."
Wow.
And she says it. "So I want to earn that money." We were all shocked. They know so much. Sometimes we underestimate them because they do not speak the way we speak. Not speaking does not mean having nothing to say. I believe in that. It's not that they don't know. Students with autism definitely remember. There are a number of stories that you can hear of students who say they are nonverbal, but then there was a boy who wrote Krishna, I think his name. He wrote a book saying, "I can see my mother crying. I would want to tell her I understand what she's saying, but I'm not able to do that."
Wow.
He typed it out. So it's not that they don't understand. It's just that they don't express it the way we do it, or they don't have speech to, to let you know.
I remember my early days for Bodhini as a volunteer. In fact, I must share here, if I may, when I said I would like to volunteer, the first thing that was told to me was, "How consistent will you be? Because if you're a volunteer, you're not obliged. You can come when you want, if you want. That's not the kind of volunteering we want. These children will get dependent on you. They look forward to your visit. And if you don't turn up, that could upset them. That was an eye-opener to me. Actually, when I said I would volunteer, I actually thought I would have the freedom to go when I had the time. But this was really an eye-opener to know that these kids will get attached, will expect you to come, and will wait for you and possibly get disturbed if you don't turn up. That was truly an eye-opener.
How much has technology helped in all this? Like, for example, I've seen iPads have helped or responses. So is there a particular... Do you use any of those?
Yes, we do. We do. Of course, computer skills. We have introduced computer training and also iPads. We have an iPad in each class, and then we have classes, especially showing pictures. Or sometimes it's used as a reinforcer when they do well, and then they are very excited because students with autism would prefer to look at something like that than more than facial expressions. More than people. That's why sometimes they have a fleeting glance. They don't maintain eye contact. It's very difficult for them to look into the eye. So right. For them, the iPad helps them. So they feel that they could do it. And it keeps saying, but you don't have to look at the expression. It keeps saying, wonderful or excellent or, clapping or whatever. So that suits them a lot. So we do use technology, in our classes so that the students benefit out of it.
Right. So, for example, if it's a severely non-communicative child, even yes, no, can they answer using an iPad?
Yes, we do. That's called the AWAS. AWAS is a kind of app that we are just going to start to use in the coming academic year, which it's an application that we use on iPads. And this is mainly for students to communicate. A number of schools do use it now. So we are also going to introduce that. So definitely technology helps in communication.
Then comes the question of the role of the parents. Now, whatever you do there, training you impart or whatever way you guide them, if the parent doesn't go along, they all get undone at home. So the child comes back the next day, completely reset. How do you tackle that?
It's initially very, very difficult because they come in wondering why me. They start with that. The parents, when they walk in, it's like, how long would this take? They would talk of it as a fracture, like, is it 6 months, 8 months? Will he be all right? Will he be normal? Can he get to regular school? Will he be doing academics? Hundreds of questions. And from there, the journey starts. And where you give them hope, where you say there's light at the end of the tunnel, but at the same time, not false hope. But tell them that everything is possible and definitely he's going to be better. I think we teach that acceptance. I think that's very, very important. And parents, you can see the transformation in parents. Actually, when you go along with them in Subodhini, we see that the teachers go along with the parents to put ourselves in their shoes to see what the concerns are, to be able to reach out whenever there is an issue. There are a number of things that we do very uniquely in Subodhini. For example, students with autism cannot get to a wedding because of the noise that Indian weddings have. So some of our teachers do go to assist them, to take them to the wedding, sensitize them, stay there for about 5 minutes, and before it gets too noisy or too crowded, we bring them out. So slowly we increase the timing. So same thing, visiting a mall sometimes or going by bus. We train them how to go by bus. So the teacher goes with them when the bus is very empty at 11 o'clock in the morning or something like that. And then as soon as it gets a little more crowded, then, they become very disturbed. So we see that when we do our training, it's, in phases. So then after some time, then we get them into the bus and then we are at the next stop to get them down. So we teach them how to travel independently. So these are things that we help parents with as a separate issue. It's not the common stuff, but generally when parents go through a lot of stress in managing all this, taking them to a wedding or some party or something, then we sensitize the student to attending it.
Mm-hmm. And you also probably have seminars for students, for the parents, so that they know how to deal with the child.
Yes, we do. We also have parents, we ask them to volunteer as teachers because I think they are the best teachers and also very good for their own children when they realize some are better off, their students, their children are much better than other children. And, they also put their heart and soul into training other kids. And some of our trainers at the Swayam Shop are mothers. Mm-hmm. We train a set of mothers, and every 3 years we change. And mm-hmm. they're very happy doing whatever they're doing. Their body language improves. And they definitely feel, you know, contributive. And I'm sure all this helps mothers. We also have yoga asanas to calm them. We give them asana, and we give them yoga for, you know, to be able to help themselves. These are, you know, measures that we take in improving their lives also.
Right. So when you have a child as a, or a person who's, well, child is the wrong word, but if a graduate, for example, from your academy, when they take up a job, do you have any guide attending the job along with the child for the first few days so that he's, there is no route transition from a place where he's comfortable to a completely new place? How do you break that to him?
Yes, we have a job coach. We have a few staff, job coaches, and then they go to the place of work, and then we, you know, have something written out or picture to tell them how to go about the jobs. Mm-hmm. You know, in a phased or breaking them down, the task analysis of each job. And Grandfoss Pump Company took in our students in 2010. Mm-hmm. And for the last decade, they have been there. So they said that they needed a job coach for 3 months. But within a month, they were very happy with them. They said they're settling down very well. And we don't need a job coach. And now they're earning a salary of 25,000, and they're permanent employees. That's a milestone success for us, getting the students placed in, you know, good companies.
Yeah.
And we also have Shell company, which has now taken in six of our students. The offer letter is ready for placement at the convenience store in every pumping station. Mm-hmm. So Bodhni is the only one that does retail training in Chennai. And so they approached us first, and each student would be offered a salary of 6,000 to start with. So I think all these are positive changes, a lot of progress. Absolutely. And so we realized that, you know, that though we do not have any kind of profit as such, it's not, we are not here to make money. It's only a training ground for them. Though we know at some times you're running at a loss, but still, I think it gives us so much of training. The students are becoming better, and the more we would like more shops like this, you know, or maybe supermarkets manned by special needs people. So once we train them, we are looking for, we do have some students from other foundations, other organizations coming in for training. And I hope this takes on a larger scale because there is so much to do in a shop. And I'm sure students will benefit by this. You know,
just like you have these sensitization classes for the parents, do you also have any kind of sensitization classes for the co-workers? I mean, they should also know what autism is, right?
Yes, right. Initially, even before we put our students there, we do an orientation for the staff, depending on the group of staff who would be working with them. We run a small documentary about subordinate to tell them from where they have come, their journey, and what is it that they are used to. And also, you know, tell them about autism. I mean, give them a few tips on autism. And I think that has helped. Because anywhere before putting the student in for a job, we, you know, sensitize the co-workers, their peers.
If somebody wants to reach out to you and help Subhavani, which areas are you looking for help?
First of all, I would like to say that I want more people sensitized. What we would want to do is we would like volunteers to come and help with our activities at school. That is one thing that we look forward to, something like what Uma said, consistency, which is very important. The students look forward to the visitors coming in to help them. And of course, financial assistance. Any amount of donations that come in is just not enough for all the activities that we do. We still, after 30 years, we do not have, you know, consistent donor. There are one or two who've been very kind enough to do that. But otherwise, we don't have people who commit for a longer period or a longer tenure. So it is always a financial fix. So I think financial assistance would be of great in help. And maybe speaking about it outside, talking, you know, telling people about it by word of mouth, you know, for people who can go and talk to companies, maybe refer whatever they can do with the government or that. Those kind of assistance will also help us. Those who are in power can come and help us with that.
Right.
And, may I add another suggestion, please, Radhama?
Yes.
I do know these kids are talented and they do a lot of stuff in the vocational section. They do these block printing bags and little art and craft, so many of those things. I think corporates could, instead of buying from people that really don't need it, but they're just doing some business, rather than that, if these kids could take orders, and they do it very well. I know for a fact that these block printed bags are amazing. Garda bags with neat block print. Eco-friendly, beautiful, very neatly done. I think you should get a word out there, Nanda, that it's wonderful to receive these as gifts. It's wonderful to place orders and help the school also. I would seriously recommend that.
Oh, thank you for reminding me of that. We have a product hub, Nanda, where students do diyas and, you know, a number of things. They even used to do small chains and, you know, those kind of, you know, things that they could put their hands on. And so these bags are the latest that we are doing since paper is out of vogue. So they do block printing and then it's going well. And, you know, that's a nice thing to do. I mean, if you can take orders, our students, especially the group that does this, are not cognitively, you know, they're not very well placed cognitively. So this is something that they do, and we hope to give them a remuneration. If our, you know, we have a good sale of these products, then I'm sure we can pay all of them. What Swabodhini is now aiming at is supported employment. This is not for the handful that can be placed out. This is mainly for the students who cannot get out into the for open employment. So we have introduced photo scanning project where the students do the scanning of old photographs and then, you know, put it in folders and then send it out. And so I think all these students can do it under supervision. There are a number of activities that they can do under supervision. So we are planning to outsource work from manufacturing industries, packaging industry, so that they can do in a workshop at our own premise. And then, you know, but they still get paid. We want to bring dignity to the lives of these children. So I'm sure each of them must take home some money. That is very, very important for me. I think they have a lot of talent and we should tap it and we should put it to good use. And they have to become productive members of the family and the society. Everybody wants to do online nowadays, you know.
Exactly. And you know,
actually, the shop that we run is that, you know, the counter, the traditional older stuff, because that's how we could do it. That's all that we could pay a rent and have. And we realized that not many people come to us. They're only the people who buy for 3 rupees and 5 rupees or, you know, those low income group people come in. What we do is mobile, you know, we do retail on wheels. So our students go out to the condos, set up the shop there. We get permission from the association and then we set up the shop and then they run the shop there and then people buy it from them. So that is going really well. And they had a chance for social skills. They go ring the bell, not to ring the bell a few times, but tendering change. A lot of things that they pick up there. And that doing very, very well. We do about 5-6 mobile retail on wheels every month. You know, the boys that were placed in Grand Force a decade ago, actually the mother, you know, company pays them very, very well. They get 25,000. They, you know, otherwise even incentives, everything else. And they're treated very, very well in the company. They walk in for the meeting to the rest of the, you know, their group. And they sit there quietly and they come out. So they're very well accepted by the group.
Right.
And, you know, one mother came up to me and said, that boy Hariharan came to me at the age of 3.5. And he joined Grand Force when he was about 20. And in the assembly section, the mother came crying and she said, this is the child we wanted to do away with and end our lives because we could not afford to educate him. And, you know, this is, you know, by divine grace, you know, that had a lot of tears in my eyes. I mean, the sense that, you know, you feel that that's where the satisfaction comes in. When you make a change in every child's life. I just wanted to share this with you.
Wow. I mean, I don't know if you had a chance to look behind your back, but I'm sure there must be a pair of wings.
Oh, yes.
So many instances, they come and tell me the acceptance part of it. I mean, I'm not saying this to boast, but, you know, all these kind of experiences are so, I mean, you really can't explain how you feel. It's so subjective, you know. You know, I don't want to seem as if I'm boasting, but, you know, every time the parent comes and says, you know, I can't believe it. She's doing this now. She's doing that now. Especially as a girl who was 17 and who went down the staircase from my second floor. When I was having classes at home, and she went down herself without being prodded, and she went and got into her car. And the father came with tears and said, the first day that the 17-year-old girl had gone down herself and got into the right car. That was an achievement for them. So it's an eye-opener for us to say what all we take granted in life. And there you see parents so happy over a small change. So when you contribute to that, I think nothing is better than this. And serving these children is like visiting a temple for me. So many incidents like that, you know, that gives you that. And parents, to give them the hope that so much is possible. These child, that's what the mother said. She came to me, the Hariharan's mother came and told me so many times, I will take him out from here. I want to put him in VTI. I said, no, just leave him. I take care of him. I don't know what made me tell her that. And finally, he found a job in Grandfoss. So, I mean, it's that just believing the children, just believing that they can do it. And you see the transformation, accepting them for what they are. The touch matters. I believe in touch therapy. When you touch them, especially even Vishwanath, I know, the first year when I was teaching in a regular school and he was in my class, and he was the first student whom I forgot to mention that, but he was the first student who opened me into this world of special education. And, you know, he changed over the years. He would jump every minute, biting his collar or biting the, biting the pencil end to a thread. And at the end of the year, he had stopped all that. I told the mother not to stitch her shirt with collars, just out of common sense. I said, don't do that, because you don't give him an opportunity to do that.
Correct.
And then finally, at the end of the year, he forgot all that. So there was so much of change. And I would ask Vishwanath to visit me on Saturdays, give the mother a break for 2 hours to tell her to do whatever she liked, because the father was blaming her for the child. So, and then, you know, that changed a lot. So I could see, you know, all this meant a lot to parents. So giving them that break, telling them that I'm there with you, don't worry, we'll solve it together. I think that, you know, that's what I meant by attributes, you know. It's just not that I have it, but I'm sure many people have it. You know, but then you have to put that to use. Be able to reach out to everybody, when they need you. There are times when parents come, especially the low-income group mothers, when they have to, you know, stay there, they can't even afford a bus trip to go and come back. They stay there, and that's how I train my mothers. You know, Subodhini trained the mothers that way. I said, why are you sitting here and wasting your time? Might as well get trained. And they got paid for that. So then they have become earning members of their own family. So there is so much to empower people with, the mothers, the family, as well as the students. So this is what everybody needs to realize, that there is so much that the community can do. We need to create that awareness. It is all of us are lost in our own world. All of us are lost that, you know, in doing what we want to do for ourselves. That's where I won't say selfishness, but I say that's the way life is. But why don't we just step aside and look at all this and say, God, you've been kind to me, you've given my faculties intact. That is a blessing. And if I can reach out to the many millions of people who need help, I'll be happy. I'll be happier than what I am now. And so that's what I love to go to colleges. I did a sensitizing, sensitizing students in college. I did a topic on autism now recently, just before the lockout. So, I told the students, they were all very interested. They were all students who speak in Tamil. You know, the minority group that being taken care of in Guru Nanak College. And immediately they came up and they said, we want to help. We have not even heard about all this. And we'd like to help your students here. There were so many. That means we have not created their awareness. I would love colleges to give them extra credit for working out for, you know, reaching out to these kind of differently able people. They could help them go for a speech therapy, or they could help them go and play with them for some time. All this will help, will make a big difference to the lives of these children. So we are not creating awareness. My punchline every day is, whose life have you touched today? I believe in asking this to anybody whom I meet. I said, if you have made a difference to somebody, I think that your day is done.
Weren't you one of the few, aren't you one of the few that runs a combined sports day where there are regular children and our children?
Yes, yes, we did. We did integrated sports.
Integrated sports.
Done by Montfort, Montfort Society, which used to encourage special needs children and their own school students. One-day sports and, so many special schools were involved. I think that was wonderful because every student was allotted a child with special needs the whole day. I mean, from morning till evening and, they would have lunch together. The values that the students pick up is much more than just teaching them across the table. I think this is important because once they get to see that, they also appreciate their own strength. And then there was a boy who came to me, from Ramachandra Medical College. And he said, I want to help Sobodhini. And I said, how do you know Sobodhini? He said, I was in Shishya and I visited your school. And the lecture that you gave us and you told us about autism and you allowed us to play with them. And we were coming there every Friday. And that's when I decided that I would help Sobodhini. So there are incidents, so many incidents like this, which, make an impact on people. So I think we are still not doing our duty of creating that impact. It has to be a movement.
Exactly. It has to be a critical mass. Yeah, there has to be a critical mass of people who are thinking same way and acting on the same way.
Nanda, I think this has to be a movement. I mean, I always believe in this. A lot of people coming into the fold. When I create awareness on the road, when we do walks, I had the Commissioner of Disability come inaugurate it. But then they allow us to walk only on Marina Beach. And not many people on the road see it. There was times when much earlier, when there was not many restrictions. We have done it on the T. Nagar Road. Whatever the road is called. So, there and a number of schools participated. We stopped the traffic. We had our students hold the placards. And a lot of buses were standing there and people looked out of the window. And I was just saying that let them look at the other side of the world. Otherwise, they wouldn't know. They wouldn't know what's happening. So I think those kind of awareness needs to happen. Nowadays, everything is like, you can walk wherever there's not even a single soul there, but still you can have your awareness walk. There's no point doing awareness walk these days. It has to be there when a big group joins you for the cause and believes in doing something and contributing towards that. It's just not for the sake of walking, But I'm happy that a lot of companies are coming forward. They would like to come and spend some time, quality time with the students. We have CTS, we have PayPal, we have a number of companies, they would like to come and spend time. So that's a good thing. There's a lot of positivity now, a lot of awareness, people wanting to do, especially for the differently able. But everything is just not, all this is just not enough. I think we need much more of all this.
Yes,
I just have one more point I would like to remind you or at least flag it. Radha ma'am, I've seen your two children and your husband completely immersed in the work you do from wherever they are and support you, because although you're not going to say it, you're not going to express it, there are times that you're not able to go through with this day after day after day. You have your own limitations, various kinds of limitations. It's also, I don't even want to call you old, you're not old. But there are limitations and sometimes you don't seem to have the energy to go on, but then you do. And how do you do it? I somehow think there's so much energy that comes from your family that kind of stands by you.
But for the support of my children and my husband, I wouldn't have come all the way. He still helped me with a lot of work at school. But I think my children have been very, very understanding, especially when I had classes, right from when I had classes at home in an 800 square feet apartment where they would stick to one room and I had my classes in my dining area, the other bedroom, blackboard, benches, and 25 students with two shifts at home. And they couldn't even come out because I would say no music because I'm having classes. No walking around because we're distracting my students. And they would stick to the bedroom, or they would go down and play. Or even if they come to the hall, they would have all the mothers sitting there. So they grew up in that kind of an environment. But I think they picked up a lot of values. my sons sponsor some one or two students at school. I'm glad that they're doing something nice like that. And I think they always keep telling me, we can't be selfish having you with us every time that we want you. Any day that you want to come and stay with us, please do. But I think the 60 children at school need you. And you have you have the skill to, improve them. And I think that's much more important. So I'm glad the family supports me that way. They don't look at me for assistance at home or anything like that. So I've been very lucky that way. And I think all this adds. Otherwise, one cannot continue for 31 years without the support of the family.
I have a request, Nanda. Can you kind of end with, he's still working on me?
Sorry to bargain, but that's a very, very special song for me, which we sing at the end of our annual day every year, and we light a lamp. And once later, when staff said it's too long, then we have now moved to Kaye Navaja. Because that's about four lines. That also means service to God. But he's still working on me. We still sing it in school during assembly. I think it's very important as a song. It's so true that God is still working on them. There is an unfinished part. And I'm sure he's working and they're going to be fine.